This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And yes, it is a great day when there is at least some voice in the media asking people to basically apply the same standards to the left as they apply to the right. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Hollywood kowtowing to China. There are voices in the entertainment industry, some very powerful ones, that are questioning that. That just as there are some voices in professional sports, they're questioning the NBA doing the same thing. Is that important? It seems to me that it is. It is also encouraging. There's also questions being raised about the tilt in news. And as some objection to the idea that the only problem with media bias, which is the theme of a big new book, is Fox News. Fox News is biased. It's pro-Trump. It's part of the Trump administration. They're the only biased source of media. Actually, I do think that Fox News leans clearly in a more conservative, a more pro-administration direction. But what about the other news organizations? We will get to that dispute in just a moment. We will also be speaking with Gerald Seib of the Wall Street Journal about the Trump strategy for turning the election around. There's more polling information today, not all of it encouraging for the president. In fact, a lot of it somewhat alarming concerning some states that he really must carry. So how does he turn it around, and what is the right strategy? We'll be speaking to Gerald Seib of the Wall Street Journal coming up about that. But first up, Meghan McCain, who I think does a very good job at what she does. When she speaks out on controversial issues, she is usually courageous and clear and effective. She had on The View Brian Stelter, who was out promoting his new books. His book is called Hoax. And the entire book is a takedown of Fox News. And I have not read it, but I understand it's devastating and withering and entirely focused on all kinds of dirty underwear at Fox News. And, of course, it's a bestseller, big bestseller right now. So with Brian Stelter talking about Fox, Meghan McCain spoke back on ABC and said, wait a minute, Stelter, you're on CNN all the time. What about CNN's problems? And she gives some examples. Listen.
There are some ethical questions that are being thrown around about CNN lately. There's a 2016 audio of your president, Jeff Zucker, offering debate advice to President Trump that was released. Jake Tapper was recently caught trying to allegedly influence a congressional election. And I had serious problems with the way Chris Cuomo had a reoccurring primetime sort of comic routine with his brother instead of asking about policies that were literally sending my friend Janice Dean's older relatives to die in nursing homes. So with the criticism of CNN, do you believe that this is acceptable, and don't you think there's enough fair criticism to go all the way around right now in just how news networks are run?
Well, first, I think you should write a book. You know, I think you've listed off all of these storylines. A lot of them, though, are cherry-picked, you know, coming from these audio tapes that Tucker Carlson's been airing. And I do have a question about this that relates to my book. You know, Michael Cohen says these audio tapes were only held by Trump, the Trump Organization, and the DOJ. So all of a sudden, they're airing on Fox News. You have to wonder if it's another example of this feedback loop that exists between Trump and Fox. But look, I'm not a spokesperson for Fox, for CNN or Fox. I'm not a spokesperson for CNN. You know, it's not for me to comment on these tapes.
Okay, but the broader issue remains, which is what about CNN's involvement on one side of the issue Why is that not acceptable? But Fox's, why is that not unacceptable? Why is that okay for CNN to be involved? He works for the company. But it is devastating and inappropriate for Fox to be involved basically on one side or another. And the point about, I have not read Brian Stelter's book, but there are voices on Fox that are extremely one-sided, and others that are notorious for being fair and being tough on both sides, like Chris Wallace, who is going to be moderating that debate coming up on the 29th. In other words, he was considered so fair by all sides that he was asked to be one of the debate moderators. And I think that's appropriate. And I'm confident that Chris Wallace will do a good job. And there are other people like Neil Cavuto or Brett Baer. Brett Baer does an excellent job. Martha McCallum. And the idea that everyone at Fox is actually some kind of compromise shill is just as wrong and unfair as claiming that everyone on either the other two big cable networks, MSNBC or CNN, is unfair and a compromised shill. I think Jake Tapper, who's been on this show, and I think he generally tries to be fair, or at least somewhat fair. He got caught up in a controversy yesterday, and that controversy has now been expanded. And it's been expanded based upon a couple of tweets that the president has retweeted. The most recent controversy involves something that happened with Joe Biden. It's a very brief note. He was campaigning, trying to turn the tide on the Latino vote, particularly regarding Florida, which is one of the states that Biden really, really wants to win and is campaigning hard on. And he stepped up to the podium right after an artist, a Latino artist named Luis Fonsi, who had a hit song called Despacito. Biden stepped up to the podium. This is clip 9, Jeremy. And he basically played that song as a way of thanking the artist for his introduction. It wasn't one of the indelible moments of the campaign. It sounded like this.
I just have one thing to say. Hang on here.
And now he's fiddling with his phone.
All right. There you go. Dance a little bit, Joe. Come on. I tell you what, if I had the talent of any one of these people, I'd be elected president by acclamation.
Okay, so somebody fiddled with that clip, which is kind of mildly embarrassing. He's bobbing his head with the music. He's not really trying to dance. But President Trump retweeted an edited video of Biden playing that song, except instead of the song Despacito, the doctored video shows Biden listening and bobbing his head along with the NWA song F the Police. That sounded like this, number 10.
I just have one thing to say. Hang on here.
Police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad because I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Because I ain't the one for a punk mother.
I tell you what, if I had the talent of any one of these people, I'd be elected president by acclamation.
Okay. Obviously, Trump tweeted it the first time with a caption, "What is this all about?" And the second time he tweeted it with a caption, "China is drooling. They can't believe this." Neither time did the president signal to his followers that it was fake, that it was, to have the Democratic nominee. And then yesterday, President Trump tweeted out a tweet that had on it hashtag Pedo Joe, claiming falsely that there are charges against Joe Biden as a pedophile. Hey, come on, this is the President of the United States. He was asked actually to reconsider that on CNN through his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Fairly amazing confrontation. We'll get to that and to much more. Gerald Seib coming up on The Medved Show. Okay, I will admit it. I love good movies, especially now when you're holed up at home. Don't some of you with families want to introduce your kids to some of the movies that meant the most to you? Wouldn't it be great to have a service that actually allows you to block out maybe some language you don't want to hear or some intensely graphic sex or violent scenes? Well, that service is called ClearPlay. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, ClearPlay settings enable you to watch the movie without violence, profanity, or other content that you choose. Customization is all based on viewers' personal settings. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. Try, for instance, that great baseball movie and father and son movie, Field of Dreams, with just some of the unnecessary harsh language. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. ClearPlay loves good movies. Did you know precious metals had a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, Amfed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call Amfed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Your daily dose of debate.
You're trying to stir up some controversy.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, I mentioned that it was a vile tweet to retweet, which also featured video that had been altered, and basically the claim that Joe Biden was a pedophile. I mean, Joe Biden's many things, but the entire obsession of the QAnon conspiracy nuts, and they are nuts, about basically calling people who they don't like politically pedophiles and Satanists and cannibals, it's really not appropriate. And the president shouldn't have retweeted it. Yesterday, while talking to Jared Kushner, Wolf Blitzer on CNN, and it's remarkable. Wolf Blitzer talked to Jared Kushner about his great pride in what the president had accomplished. Jared Kushner was very much part of it. He has been working on this Middle East peace deals, and it's a whole series of deals, for a long time. And he was clearly basking in the glory of the moment, the big White House ceremony. And Wolf Blitzer asked him to ask his father-in-law, the president of the United States, to please avoid that kind of retweeting again of material that makes scurrilous and clearly false charges against his opponent. Jared graciously said, well, we should go back to talking about the importance of this day, but he did promise that he would bring it up with President Trump, and I think that would be good advice. We have in this country too much easily triggered outrage. We have enough negativity in our politics. And for goodness sake, can there be some recognition that it's possible to be a conservative in the United States without being a racist, gun-toting, science-denying, crazed lowlife with tobacco juice drooling out of your missing teeth? I mean, there's a movie we're going to talk about on Friday that just portrays conservative Christians in the American heartland in the worst possible light. That kind of nonsense is bad for the country. But it's also bad for the country if you have the President of the United States basically associating in any way with crazy people who believe that Hillary and Bill Gates and Joe Biden and Dr. Fauci and all of these people are part of some massive conspiracy to traffic children. I mean, it's disgusting. And no responsible public figure or media figure should in any way have anything to do with that stuff. Let me go back, because there's been a kind of a questioning reaction, because there are a lot of people who are just very upset at the loss of the Columbia University marching band. To give you a flavor of what the band actually wrote, and this is their announcement that they were disbanding. I don't think they're really disbanding. I think this is all basically a bid for attention. It's very clever and very well done. But they write in their statement, which was covered straight. The New York Times didn't seem to have a clue, and none of the major newspapers. They're all treating it, oh, the band disbanded. They're horrible things. What they wrote in their statement is this. The Columbia University Marching Band apologizes for insult and injury victims have experienced as a result of actions perpetrated in its name. The band understands that for many, the damage experienced at the hands of the Columbia University Marching Band may be irreparable. And the band will not be asking for or expecting any forgiveness. The current band hopes that the band's dissolution will provide relief to the present suffering of the Columbia community and time to heal from the decades of harm caused by this organization. We also hope that the Columbia University Marching Band's disbandment can create a space that allows for the formation of a new spirit group that will provide a safe and inclusive outlet for students to play music at Columbia. Okay, they're making fun of snowflakes, and they're making fun of the Columbia administration, which also has no sense of humor at all, which has been apparently trying to crack down on the band for years. Speaking of cracking down on the band, finally there are some people, and this goes to clip 16A and B, Jeremy, who are cracking down on a disgusting Hollywood tendency, which is the tendency, and we highlighted on this show, the Disney company said that they were thinking, Bob Iger, affiliated with Disney, said he was thinking of banning any production in the state of Georgia because they didn't like an abortion bill that was passed by Georgia. But for a genocidal regime in China, no problem. We'll work with you. In a failed experiment called Mulan. Mulan apparently is a big dud at the box office in China. It's a $200 million movie, and people in China don't like it because most of the leading cast are either Chinese-American or Chinese-British or some variety of people who don't live under the People's Republic. Judd Apatow, great filmmaker who's made a lot of fairly raunchy but very entertaining films, sat down with Ari Melber on MSNBC and talked about the dangers of censorship and self-censorship by film companies in dealings with China. Listen.
For me, I think what I perceive as more chilling is a corporate type of censorship that people don't really notice, which is a lot of these giant corporate entities have business with, you know, countries around the world, Saudi Arabia or China, and they're just not going to criticize them, and they're not going to let their shows criticize them, or they're not going to air documentaries that go deep into truthful areas because they just make so much money. So while we're all going, you know, can we say this joke or not say that joke, on a much bigger level, they have just completely shut down critical content about human rights abuses in China. And I think that's much scarier.
He's right. And then he goes on to make an even stronger statement. Listen.
You're talking about global conglomerates that say, we still need to be able to sell a version of this in China. And so we're not even going to accept this in what's already being greenlit, let alone something that's more prone, something provocative.
Or dies in the pitch phase. Hey, I want to write a movie about the concentration camps in China, and Muslims in concentration camps. I want to write a movie about someone who escapes. No one would buy the pitch. Instead of us doing business with China and that leading to China becoming more free, what has happened is a place like China has bought our silence with their money.
Okay, and actually, that's even with the star of Mulan, who's Chinese-American, having supported China and their crackdown on Hong Kong. Look, all of this relates to a very, very important history. A history going back to Hollywood's refusal, because they didn't want to lose the German market, to call out Hitler and fascism for what it was. We will get to that. We'll talk to Gerald Seib about Trump's political strategy from the inside and more coming up on the Medved Show.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The head of the CDC says no one at the federal agency advised President Trump to play down the severity of the coronavirus threat. Dr. Robert Redfield also dismissed an anonymous sourced report that says the CDC has been politicized by the White House. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden is accusing President Trump of not taking the coronavirus seriously enough.
He continued to lie about COVID-19. He doubled down on the catastrophic mistakes that he's made. And perhaps, worst of all, he made clear that he still doesn't have a plan to bring us out of this crisis.
Biden again speaking from his hometown of Wilmington, Delaware. He also says President Trump is not accepting responsibility for the response to the ongoing outbreak. Final numbers on Wall Street at the closing bell. The Dow gained 37 points to finish at 28.32. USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Michael Medved Show, very honored to welcome back to this show Gerald Seib, who is the executive Washington editor for the Wall Street Journal. He is also the author of a book that is profoundly relevant to this very moment in history. And it's a fascinating book, an insider's account to some extent of some decades of history. It's called We Should Have Seen It Coming, From Reagan to Trump, A Front Row Seat to a Political Revolution. And part of what you say in your column this week, Gerald, is that the Reagan Revolution that a lot of us remember so fondly, it was a great moment for America. It really was morning in America. That really was clinched, at least in terms of Reagan's victory in 1980, in a debate in Cleveland. And we have a debate in Cleveland coming up in, 13 days from now. What does Joe Biden have to keep in mind about Reagan's experience that made him so successful in that debate?
Well, you know, and it's ironic this debate is going to be held in Cleveland as well, so he might think about that. But more pertinent, I think the lesson of that debate was that that was an election in which a lot of people didn't really want to vote for the incumbent president, Jimmy Carter. They were tired of the chaos. They thought he wasn't up to the job. They wanted a change, but they had to be given permission, essentially, to move over across the divide and vote for Ronald Reagan. He had to reassure them that they could move away from Carter and vote for Reagan and not worry about the consequences. Why? Well, because I think Reagan had a reputation among a lot of the intelligentsia as a bit of a lightweight, as kind of a cowboy, an actor, not a serious person, and a kind of a lightweight and somewhat scary warmonger, to use all the stereotypes that were thrown at him. He had to convince people that he was safe and that they could feel comfortable with him. And he did that in that first debate. Well, in fact, it was the only debate that year. It was 1 week before the election. Reagan and Carter had a debate. Reagan came off well. He came off as likable and safe, not scary. And that was the end of the story, because he was down in the Gallup poll 3 percentage points among likely voters before that debate. Immediately after it, he was 3 points up among likely voters, and within a week he had won the election by 10 points. So he had to give people permission, essentially, to move over and vote for him, because they already knew they didn't really want to vote for Jimmy Carter. That's kind of what Joe Biden needs to do.
Okay, what Joe Biden has to do is not drool, not serve up some kind of word salad that is unintelligible, not make some kind of horrific gaffe, and basically deny the fact that he is a crazed socialist radical. And I'm sure that Joe Biden is preparing to try to do that. What does President Trump have to do in the debate to seal his reelection?
Well, look, the line of attack on Joe Biden is kind of as you summarized it. It is essentially, A, he's too old and over the hill. He's not up to the job. He doesn't have the mental acuity or the stamina. And, B, he's too weak to take on the resurgent socialist left in his own Democratic Party. That's the Republican line. And I think what Donald Trump is going to try to do, needs to do to win, is to reinforce both of those messages. And in a way, what he has to do is convince people who maybe don't like him that much, who wish he had a different style, who don't maybe want to vote for Donald Trump, that they need to go ahead and do so anyway. He has to make this, in the debates, an election that's more about Joe Biden than about Donald Trump in some ways. And if he does that, his base will be with him, and some wavering voters will swing over to his side as well.
Okay, one of the things, and Jason Riley makes this point in the Wall Street Journal today, is that Trump cannot win the election simply by replicating his votes from last time. Because, for one thing, there are no serious third-party candidates this time. Last time, 6 percentage points of all the electorate went to Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. And nobody's expecting that kind of third-party vote this time. So he has to go up from that 46%. What's his best target, President Trump, recruiting new Trump voters?
Well, and his challenge is even a little greater than that, because he has to make up for those third-party votes that helped him get over the top last time, plus make up for the loss of a lot of suburban women who seem to be defecting, maybe not in as big a numbers as people think, but still in some meaningful numbers. So where does he find the votes? Well, I think basically you go back to the well, which is to say there are a lot of people out there who were kind of dormant Trump voters, potentially Trump voters, who didn't show up in 2016. People talk about the Democrats who didn't show up. There are a lot of people who could be Trump voters who didn't show up in 2016, who could be activated and energized this time around. Many of them are in the upper Midwest in those key industrial states. Many of them are you know, white working class males. If you look at the people who didn't vote in 2016 in those states, the biggest chunk of people in the didn't vote category are those people, working class white males. They're available to Trump. The Trump campaign is working on activating them, registering them, and getting them out. And then I think the second thing that he has to do is convince some wavering Republicans that they may not like the Trump style, but that the alternative is far worse, that there are some moderate Republicans who didn't vote for Trump last time because they were willing to vote for Hillary Clinton, who may be convinced they shouldn't take a chance on today's version of the Democratic Party. Some of those people are available, too, I think.
In terms of, you say in your column, what matters is 1.5 hour of television. They're expecting 70 million viewers, which is a shocking number if that holds. Why is the first half hour the key moments of the debate?
Well, because I think that this is about impressions. You know, this is not really about ideology or even policy so much. I don't think either Joe Biden or President Trump have really fixed ideologies. They're kind of more instinctive politicians. And so it's not really about the policy debate. It's about the impression of whether Joe Biden is up to the job. And that's going to be a first impression, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think the first impression matters a lot in this case, way more than the kind of the more down in the weeds policy discussions that will follow. And I think that first impression, you know, what's the old expression, you get one chance to make a first impression? Well, he'll have one chance to make a first impression, and I think it's going to be very important in this case.
Do you believe President Trump when he says he's not preparing for the debate?
I do. I think that he spent a lot of time doing debate prep in 2016. I think he's in it. He will tell you, I'm an instinctive politician. I'm a counterpuncher. I go with my gut. You know, he's said it. He's done it over and over again. I think that he trusts his instincts more than he trusts what any advisor could tell him in a debate prep session. And as I said, this is not about, you know, the 10-point policy plan that you might have on, you know, you pick the issue, climate change, healthcare, energy. That's not what this is about. That's not what Trump is a specialist in. He's a specialist in delivering a message at 10,000 feet and hammering it home, and he does that by instinct, not by preparation, I think.
We are looking, all of us looking forward to the debate and to some resolution. If you were to pick one state that you think is likely to surprise on either side in this election, what state would you look at?
I think Arizona is fascinating. It hasn't gone Democrat in a long, long time. It could
not
this
since
time.
64.
So yeah, exactly. So yeah. Barry Goldwater, right? You got it. Barry Goldwater didn't manage to win it. So, but anyway, if Arizona moves to the Democrats, it's a sign of demographic change working to Democrats' advantage, and that may be true in some other places as well. I mean, the most important state is Florida, but I think the most interesting one in some ways, to me at least, is Arizona.
Who's ahead in Florida?
Pretty much a tie. Now,
Polls say they have polls today, major polls at literally 50-50 in Florida. Oh, boy, let's hope we don't have a replay of 2000. That's Gerald Seib, the author of the book We Should Have Seen It Coming. It's posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. When we come back, more on what the president's doing today. Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at The MedVed Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVed History Store by 50%. Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at The MedVed Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch MedVed's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and give you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Yeah, it's a close election. There's a new poll from Florida Atlantic University. It's taken September 11th and 12th. Shows President Trump 50% in Florida, Joe Biden 50% in Florida. Tie. And then a poll, another poll of Florida from Monmouth University, showing Biden ahead by just 4 points. That's within the margin of error. And another poll from North Carolina showing Biden ahead by 3 points within the margin of error. President Trump is just taking questions from the press. He made statements about hurricane relief, and he gave the very latest on the COVID-19 strategies of his administration. Now taking questions. Listen.
Ballots going out, so that's much easier. Not 53 to 80 million going out. A very small number. And you know what's happened? Fraud like you've never seen, missing ballots, ballots that
some
never showed up,
ballots,
ballots with bad signatures, ballots with no signatures. And in the case of Nevada, they don't even want verification of the signature. It's a disgrace. Now, the hope for our nation is it's before judges. In Pennsylvania, it's before judges. In Nevada, it's before judges. In other places, it's before federal judges. And hopefully they'll do what they did the other day in Pennsylvania, where we had a great victory. Open up your state. It's unconstitutional to close it, because what they were doing is closing it. And they're closing it for political reasons. It'll open on November 4th. It'll open up right after the election. But they want people to, they want our numbers to be as bad as possible. But the problem is our numbers are so good, with or without various states opening up, with or without. But we had a big legal victory, as you know, 3 days ago. A federal judge told them to open up their state. It's unconstitutional what you're doing. That's in the case of Pennsylvania. Now the big cases are going to be the cases on these unsolicited ballots, and we'll see what happens. All right, OAN, please.
On the grounds that the Chinese Communist Party has been using slave labor in Xinjiang, your administration has imposed a limited ban on certain products coming out of Xinjiang, stopping short of a full region ban. What is your response to the Chinese Communist Party's spokespeople who are saying that this is an outright lie, Xinjiang does not have forced labor? And number two, have allies expressed best interest in standing with this administration in taking action against forced labor imposed by the
Congress. We don't want to see that. We've been very strong on that. We're getting reports, and over the next 2-3 days, we'll know very accurately what the story is, and we'll then take action one way or the other.
I just wanted to ask you about the WTO's recent ruling against the United States over $200 billion in tariffs on China. Should the U.S. remain part of the WTO?
Well, I have real questions about it. Look, the U.S., we just won a $7.5 billion lawsuit, which nobody used to sue before I came along, you know. Well, they used to lose them every single time. Now they haven't been losing them. But we're getting reports on the WTO. It's not good. Never been good to us. The WTO, as far as I'm concerned, was created to suck money and jobs out of the United States to the benefit of China and other countries. That's what my opinion is. Whether it was created or it just turned out to be that way. But the World Trade Organization has been not good for the United States. It's been good for everybody else, but it's not been good. It was a method, in my opinion, of taking advantage of the United States. So we're looking into what happened, and we'll get back to you.
Yes. Questions. One, you said you spoke with Dr. Redfield earlier, and you said that he made a mistake.
I think he made a mistake. Yeah, I didn't go into it in great detail. I was very surprised to hear it. It doesn't really matter. Here's what does matter. We're all set to distribute immediately. As soon as that vaccine comes out that's safe and good and works, whether it's Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, or anybody else, we are ready to distribute it very rapidly. As Scott said, and as our team knows, and they're ready. And that could be on... It could be in October, sometime in October or November. I don't think it's going to be much later than that. But I think it could be sometime in October. We're ready to move. And it'll be a very full distribution.
So y'all had the call. You said that you told him that he had made a mistake. What was his response?
No, I didn't tell him anything. I said, what happened? And I got the impression that he didn't realize he said what he might have said. I didn't see him say it. But if that's what he said, it's a mistake because he's so ready. We're ready to distribute immediately to a vast section of our country and then beyond, because we want to help other countries also. But we're ready to distribute immediately.
But the timeline that he gave, saying that it wouldn't be ready for the general public until the middle of next year, sounds very like the one that you kind of just offered.
No, I said that there'll be 700 million doses by end of Q1, and everyone in high risk will have it no later than January.
Yeah, he was talking about the general public.
We are focused.
Talking about high risk,
as you know,
Caitlin,
we're focused on high risk, but we're going to focus also on general public very much. But we are, our immediate aim is elderly people, and especially elderly people with heart, diabetes problems. But we will have it. We're not looking at a small distribution program. We're looking at distributing to the whole United States with an immediate focus of the elderly. Now, under no circumstance will it be as late as the doctor said, but I think that, frankly, if he analyzes, you know, they hit him with that question, he said that we are ready at a much faster level than what he said. We will have rapid distribution. We're set up, our military and others are set up to do it, and we think it could even start taking place in October, but certainly during November, December would be the latest. Because based on what we're hearing, results are very good. So we'll see what happens.
Question is, you told Bob Woodward, the problem with the vaccine is a vaccine will take 13 to 14 months once you have it because you have to test a vaccine. So do you want to clarify?
Well, what I was saying to him, no, but that was a long time ago when I said that. We weren't set up at that time. Well, how many months ago? When was the statement made? You know, his book is sort of obsolete because the book comes out. By the way, I read the book last night very rapidly, because it was very boring. I read it. And if you see what I said, a lot of really good things. I mean, for the most part, people like to turn it around, but I said really good things in that book. And as an example, he doesn't cover, I told him what we're doing in the Middle East, and we're doing it in an entirely different way. And that's not covered in his book. The whole thing isn't covered in his book. And one thing I will say, and I respect the press for this one, which is interesting, almost universally we've been praised for the deal that we made yesterday with Israel and with, you know, the two very important countries in the Middle East. and UAE in particular, where it's a very powerful group. It's a warrior country. It's led by a great warrior and a man who's highly respected. And if you take a look at that and Bahrain and Israel making a deal, and I will tell you, we have at least four or five others that want to come in. They would have come in yesterday. I talked to two of them yesterday, and they're ready to trot. And I think you're going to have a whole level of peace without blood all over the sand. Nobody was shot. Nobody was killed. We killed hundreds of thousands of people in the Middle East. It's been. I always say it's the bloodiest sand anywhere in the world. And it didn't have to be that way. The single worst decision our country ever made was to go into the Middle East. Not only the millions of people killed, and I include people on both sides. You know, some people say, oh, you shouldn't say that. I said, I'll say it on both sides. Such a horrible thing was done. Such a horrible mistake was made. We're doing this a different way. So we have those two countries. We have at least five that we're negotiating with right now. And you can only negotiate with so many. I think they're all going to come in. I think ultimately the Palestinians are going to come in. These are all the people that are funding them. You know, I stopped funding the Palestinians fairly early on because they were saying bad things about our country. I said, well, you mean we're giving them $750 million a year and they're saying all bad things about our country? So I stopped funding them very early on. But they get funded by other very rich countries. To them, it's like a speck. It's nothing. But they get funded. But I think now that these countries, these very rich countries, are part of the deal, and they're going to, you'll see over the next fairly short period of time, other countries will come in. I think Saudi Arabia ultimately will come in too. I think getting Saudi
Arabia. Well, let's hope that the
great,
president is right about everything. I certainly hope and ardently pray that he is right about the vaccine being as ready as soon as possible. Wouldn't it be great if we did have a vaccine in October? Of course, October is important to him because it's before the election. But even if it's right after the election, what a deliverance for the United States, and what a big score for the Trump administration if we have a safe and effective vaccine. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Alan Dershowitz, who is in the midst of not only reacting to the Middle East peace deal, he's someone who knows the Middle East extremely well, has written about it extensively, he's also in the midst of a battle. A lawsuit against CNN. He'll give us the update on that. We'll also be speaking about a city council that voted to abolish its police department. And now in Minneapolis, they're saying, hey, what happened to the cops? Where are the police? Yeah, we can tell you what happened. We'll talk about it next time in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
MechTech. With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.